flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, it's time for Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
I didn't even know I would get that much of an open. That's kind of amazing. Hi! You normally hear me on middays with Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein. Layla Rahimi joining you tonight from 6 until 9. It's nice. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I'm fortunate because there is a lot to talk about today. We finally got to meet the new Bears coordinators. Very excited to listen to Declan Doyle and Dennis Allen. And I think we can learn a lot more about not only the Bears process. I know we've talked a lot about the process to interview Ben Johnson and how they got to this point and to hire him and all of the candidates that they talked to. But we can also figure out who's whose guy, not who's your guy for the draft. We'll get there eventually. But who's your guy when it comes to assistant coaches? Who is retained? Who may be a Ryan Poles guy? Who may be a Ben Johnson guy? Who is the new developing coaching tree in the NFL? And I think you're really starting to see that take shape. As New Orleans as Ryan Pace was when he got to the Bears, I think you're really going to see some New Orleans influences when it comes to Ben Johnson and what he's bringing to not just the hires he's already made on his coaching staff, but also who could be coming for the Bears and why that might be a good thing when you consider it. We break it down. So that's going to be where we spend most of the first hour, I think, is just listening in on what was the best of the press conference today from the Bears coordinators. Richard Hightower also spoke because he's back, as we know. So he was also discussing his re-addition, if you will, or at least being kept on the Bears coaching staff today. But to me, the real interesting stuff came from Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle because we hadn't heard from them yet after being hired. So that's really interesting, too. So we'll talk about that. I want to take your calls as well. I like talking to people, so I want to talk to you. 312-644-6767. That is the text line. That is our phone lines. Tyler Buterbaugh is nice enough to join me for this evening. Tyler, we've been working on the show. I see you drinking your energy drink, so I'll let you take a nice sip. I have my coffee. Who knows what time we'll go to sleep after this, because I feel like we've been working on the show all day.
Yeah, that's how I feel, and that's why I need this juice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we'll spend most of the 6 o'clock hour. At 7, like I said, James Palmer would join us. You know him previously from the NFL Network, Underdog Fantasy as well, and the 89 podcast with Steve Smith that is really starting to gain some steam. I think James has a great look at the NFL overall. So I want to get his thoughts on just a lot of different topics, not just the Eagles, not just the Chiefs, not just the Super Bowl, but also his observations from around the league. So I always appreciate that as well. Additionally, we're going to hear from Nick Kosmider. He covers the Denver Broncos at The Athletic. That's at 7:40. Here's an Easter egg for you. Aaron Andrews broke a sideline reporting rule this week, and I'm going to tell you why it was a good thing. So that will also be in our 7 o'clock hour. At 8, we're going to talk about the standouts from the Senior Bowl. A lot of reporters who were covering the Senior Bowl and eyes and ears at it left today, so we'll get a wrap-up of maybe who the Bears might be interested in, who stood out in a lot of the video you've seen, whether it's viral clips or just who people are talking about. This is the time where you get to fall in love with people. So I feel like the Senior Bowl is where you get to fall in love with everybody. Then the Combine is where, for some reason, you have to question all of your decisions. And then you have to conflict your love and your conflict and your questioning with what happens before the NFL draft. So right now we're in the honeymoon phase. Then we're going to fall out of the honeymoon phase at the Combine. And then somewhere along the way will be what we get to in the NFL draft. So this is the honeymoon phase in the beginning. So I really like to be able to talk about some guys who stood out at the Senior Bowl, see what's going on there. And then we will also discuss the Bears offensive line coaching position and why it is so key. And I think it really echoes a theme from what we're seeing in the research that we've all done regarding what we know about the offensive and defensive coordinator hires for the Bears and what the thought process is regarding really a personnel philosophy that you're trying to see take shape on the coaching staff, or at least I think there might be one with Ben Johnson. So we're going to start with what we heard today. Hallis Hall, like we said, the scene for coordinators meeting the media today, that was at 11 o'clock this morning. And Dennis Allen is already letting you into the process, I feel like, right away when he tells everybody in the first comments in his press conference that, yes, Ben Johnson has said that he had not met Dennis Allen yet, but apparently they had made contact. Take a listen.
At some point, as we got later in the season, he reached out to me just to see if I would be interested. I told him that I would be interested. I think it's probably, you know, a product of just the same connections, you know, Dan, Aaron, all of us were at A&M together at some point in time or had that connection. We're all on the staff there in New Orleans together. I was with Terrell Williams. He was with me in Oakland. And so I just feel like I had connections to Ben, although I didn't really know him. And I just think him leaning on those guys in reference to me and me leaning on those guys in reference to him, I think we both felt like it was a really good fit.
What stands out to me from that immediately is that Dan has said it on the midday show. You hear it there. The concept of building a coaching staff, maybe in the background, while you still have a very important job to do, knowing that you're likely going to be a free agent or at least available and open for business at the end of the season. We all know Ben Johnson famously was one of the biggest names of the cycle last year, stayed with Detroit. But Dennis Allen let you in on a little bit of the process there when he said that he was reached out to. Now, whether that was by Ben Johnson directly himself or perhaps Rick Smith, his agent, or somebody on his behalf, you could see the staff building that was going on. But I think it's also important to note here, he didn't say Ryan Poles. He said Ben Johnson. So you're already seeing that vertical structure that comes into play. You're seeing that even in that answer, Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen are the ones working together. So to me, that stood out immediately, and I like it. Let's talk about what goes into the Dennis Allen defense. This is not a Tampa 2. Dennis Allen likes more man coverage than the typical defensive coordinator that we have seen here in recent years. I think that benefits guys like Jalen Johnson. It's not necessarily going to be on your side of the field. It's matchup based. How is that going to make the secondary look? One of the things that Dennis Allen brought up was outstanding nickel plays. So you think of Kyler Gordon there. He also said, you know, the foundation is there roster-wise, because we all know that a new defensive scheme means we're going to see a different look out of the defense. So how does that shape the roster? And he did talk about the foundation is there and it being a quarterback-based league. He also discussed the importance of rushing the passer. Tyler, I know I've highlighted a lot when it came to what Dennis Allen had to say. Do we have what he said about just the foundation when it comes to what he thinks of the roster? We're working with a new board. It's very shiny and very pretty.
I think we want to be an attacking, aggressive style of defense. I think we want to take the fight to the offense and not let the offense dictate the tempo to us. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to challenge everything. We're going to play the game the right way. We're going to play a tough, physical, you know, brand of football. And I think the brand of football that you come to expect at the Chicago Bears.
So you get a sense there for what Allen wants to do. But when he talks about the quarterback-based league, having that offensive acknowledgement and having that offensively based foundation, what I hear there when I hear him talk about that is not only echoing what Ben Johnson said about the importance of it, but also understanding what that means for the pass rush. The Bears' pass rush numbers were high last season. They pressured somewhere around 11%, they were 11th in the league on their pressure percentage. And that's high. That's right outside. That's right in like the top third of the league. So unfortunately, it didn't translate when it came to getting home on sacks. Montez Sweat led the team with only 5.5 sacks after having a breakout season the year before. So we know that that's a number that has to come up, especially from your main pass rush threat. What does that look like for the defensive line? Could the Bears get aggressive in trying to get more help on the defensive line before they go offensive line maybe in the draft? I hope not. I think that they've put themselves in a position where offensive line has to be the choice for them first. But when you're picturing how this defense is going to go, and you remember what coaches like Matt Eberflus said about needing certain players to make it work, the nickel corner, which we saw with Kyler Gordon, or needing your three technique, that you need to absolutely be the fulcrum and the focal point of the defense. When I hear those things, I think about how in Detroit, they did the opposite. They built inside out with the lines. And here we're seeing the Bears practically, not totally, but practically be built outside in. Ryan Poles drafted in the secondary first. Then he drafted a wide receiver in the third round of 2022. Outside in, right? That was the concept. When it came to comments like Mully saying, smartly, I think, on Mully and Haw one morning, that the 7-on-7 team was built before the football team. We saw it show when it came to sacks, when it came to not getting enough sacks, the pass rush not being there consistently year to year. A big part of that, of course, is Andrew Billings' absence once he got injured and how that affected things, even though he's known more for the run defense. But either way, I like that Dennis Allen was asked a lot of questions about all of these things. And the Saints, when Allen was in charge of them, had one of the best defenses in the league for 4 years. 2018 to 2021, that was a hallmark of what the Saints did. So what does Dennis Allen think about the roster with the Bears so far? Let's take a listen.
I took a look a little bit at the pieces on defense. I felt like there were some pieces in place. You know, in particular, I think there's some things that we have to have in the secondary that I like. I think there's some pieces at linebacker that I'm encouraged by. I think there's a couple of spots up front that I feel like we've got some players. So I think the foundation is there defensively. And I think, look, when Ben asked me if I would be interested. There was a couple of places that I felt like had the pieces in place to potentially be a really good football team. And Chicago was obviously one of them. And so I was excited when it came about that this was the job that that he really wanted, and this was the job that he was able to get. And I was excited when he wanted me to come along with him.
So you hear that there, Dennis Allen telling you what he thinks about the roster, what he thinks about this opportunity with the Bears. And he also talked about, he mentioned linebacker when he discussed the spots in the roster and the foundation that he wanted to see defensively. I'm assuming he means our friend TJ Edwards there. That was who I thought of when he discussed that. Kyler Gordon, I think he also signaled. Jalen Johnson, to me, is a given in this. When you talk about a more man-based coverage look, what is that going to look like? It requires Jalen Johnson to be there. And then he said again that the foundation is there defensively. You're starting to see this kind of take shape. I think the New Orleans piece of this is important as well. I also want to remind you that we do want to get your thoughts on this. We do want to get your thoughts on grading the Bears coordinator hires, 312-644-6767. You can call, you can text. So we appreciate that. And there, I know that there's a lot of people on the text line, too, who are chiming in. It's okay, 815. I have a hard time trusting a coach who wears a visor. Can we make sure Dennis Allen is not allowed to have a Bears visor? Do not let Matt Nagy's visor and his fashion choices affect you. I actually thought Matt Nagy wore the visor ironically and didn't have a problem with that. I just had a problem with him thinking personnel was scheme. That's another show for another day. We're not going to do it. Right, Tyler? We're not doing that today, right?
No, not doing that today.
Okay, fair enough. Let's continue with what we know about Dennis Allen and what he had to say today at Hallis Hall. Mark Grody also asked him about adding pieces from a defensive standpoint and how that looks. So what did he have to say about that? Because we know Grody's got the best questions.
I took a look a little bit at the pieces on defense. I felt like there were some pieces in place. You know, in particular, I think there's some things that we have to have in the secondary that I like. I think there's some pieces at linebacker that I'm encouraged by. I think there's a couple of spots up front that I feel like we've got some players. So I think the foundation is there defensively. And I think, look, when Ben asked me if I would be interested, there was a couple of places that I felt like had the pieces in place to potentially be a really good football team. And Chicago was obviously one of them. And so I was excited when it came about that this was the job that that he really wanted, and this was the job that he was able to get. And I was excited when he wanted me to come along with him.
Okay, so same soundbite. Unfortunately, we're still getting used to this new board. Tyler's having to do a little bit of everything back there. But that was the response to Mark Grody. And we'll be interested to see how they really put this together. Who is Dennis Allen going to help bring in? Does he help bring in people? Is it still Ben Johnson? As we try to get that figured out and get it together when it comes to the look of this team. We're going to be talking about the coordinators, our opinions of them for the next hour here for sure on the score. We're already getting some replies on the grades. 219 says the letter grade is B. I think it's a B maybe because you know who Dennis Allen is, but you don't know a lot about Declan Doyle. So we try to figure out what the Bears' defense is going to look like. To me, that was the biggest question here is we know how the offense is going to look. We know who's headed up based on Ben Johnson's offense. We know how he's going to use these players. At least we know what it looks like. But Dennis Allen is going to change the look of this. So figuring that piece out of it and figuring out whether or not they're going to want to use anybody that they haven't used in the past 3 years draft-wise. Unfortunately, I am looking in the direction of guys like Zach Pickens. What do you plan on doing with a guy like that, for example? Is he going to still be a healthy scratch in games coming up this season? That's ideally not what you want to see. How is the interior of the line going to look? What's Jervon Dexter going to look like? Are you going to get more help somehow to rush the passer that might additionally bring in support for Montez Sweat? And that was something else that Allen made note of. He talked about the importance of at the line, getting things done. You hear again when he talks about the line in and then move outward approach. If you don't pressure the passer, how does that look on the other side? That's going to help your secondary. That's, we saw it last season. The more sacks Montez Sweat had, the better everything looked. How does that affect what you're doing with the linebackers? Does the job fall on them as much? Do you end up saying TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds' names as much if they have a stronger defensive line? I argue no. I don't think that's going to be the case. You want to see that happen. To me, it all starts from the inside out, and that's not something that we've been able to really discuss with the Bears. It is the missing piece to all of this. It's just the balance of how that roster is going to look and how much the last 3 years of drafting is even going to stay with this team. Bears have an estimated $67 million, perhaps, if the NFL salary cap grows like a lot of people think it's going to. So how is that going to look in all of this? We're up against a break. We've got to talk about Declan Doyle because we finally got to hear from him. 28 years old, the new offensive coordinator for the Bears. What is his role going to be? What do you think? 312-644-6767. Call us. You know that score listener line is open for you. We will take some calls. We'll get to know Declan Doyle. We'll have a little bit of conversation. Thanks for hanging with me on my first ever solo show. Weird to say, Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
We are getting to know the Bears coordinators today. They were introduced earlier at Hallis Hall. Dennis Allen, formerly of the Saints, is your new defensive coordinator. Declan Doyle, at the ripe age of 28, youngest offensive coordinator in the NFL. He was introduced as the new Bears OC today at Hallis Hall, and he's considered a bright young mind. He's not the only one. Dennis Allen had this to say about him when he was asked about it today. Ah, our new board. It's good. It's nice. It's pretty. It smells new. But it takes some getting used to. Tyler Buterbaugh doing his best here on the ones and twos. It's a busy day when you got to take a bunch of calls. And as we wait for that, I'll give you a little more background on him. Because we've talked about it, but it's nice to be able to set it up and now hear from him. And in his own words, get to know more about him. I think I'm not the only one who's been on YouTube and looked at his interview as an assistant with the Saints when he was talked to at a Senior Bowl many moons ago as a new Saints assistant. Well, he's been the Broncos tight end coach for the last 2 years, four seasons with the Saints as an assistant before that. He played baseball at Iowa Western Community College. You know his dad, former Iowa strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle. He had his own allegations. Declan Doyle comes in with a clean slate, in my opinion. And he was also an offensive student assistant at Iowa. So you can understand why that connection might have helped. But he's here now in the NFL. He's had multiple jobs. And he also got some compliments from the new DC.
The number one thing that stands out, the moment you meet him, the moment you talk to him, you sense a highly, highly intelligent person. A guy that's been around the game, a guy that understands the game. He understands the game from a multitude of different perspectives. I just think he's a really good, bright young coach that has a really good future in front of him.
Well, I'm sure Ben Johnson thinks so, too, because he decided that that person was going to be his next in command. Doyle, a student of Sean Payton, whose name I think we're going to get used to saying a lot, because it is very clear that that coaching tree and that philosophy is important on this Bears staff. Joe Lombardi, the Broncos offensive coordinator, another influence for him. And those are really where you hear a lot of the foundation for what Declan Doyle wants to do. So you want to know what concepts can he take from Sean Payton's offensive scheme. Well, Dan Weiderer asked Declan Doyle about a lot of that earlier today.
Those two guys are two people that I look up to a lot. They've had huge impacts on my life, Joe and Pete. And I was actually talking to Ben about that during the interview, because it was like, basically my entire time, five of my 6 years in the NFL, there's been this position that was Pete and Joe. The biggest thing is high levels of communication from, you know, that position, the ability to utilize all the resources within the staff and give very direct, you know, not only messaging, but direction to what we're trying to accomplish. The biggest thing is that you're on the same page as the play caller. And so me and Ben are going to have to spend a ton of time together diving into film. And I'm really, really excited to go do that. And to make sure that I see the game the same way he sees it, to be able to orchestrate it and set the table for him and, you know, really make sure that we're doing it the way he wants to do it.
So you hear a little bit of Declan Doyle there and what he knows his role and his responsibility are going to be and how that's going to work in concert with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's calling plays. So how does that come together? And since there is so much echoing of Sean Payton, I was reminded about the position that he had before he went to the Saints and became their head coach. When he was in Dallas, he was their assistant head coach and quarterbacks coach. So that gives you an indication of the pathway there. Tight ends coach, very popular in the NFL for being an upwardly mobile position among coaching staffs because you learn so much about just not blocking, but the route trees as well. You get a little bit of everything. I think it's important selfishly to also understand more of what the tight ends coaches are doing and how that could possibly help out a guy like Cole Kmet, who didn't see nearly enough targets, as we all know, last season. And to have him be the OC, how does that affect the rest of his staff, which we're starting to see take shape? Guys like JT Barrett, Antoine Randle-L, and what his responsibilities are as far as him learning his own offense and bringing in what he wants to bring in out of those principles, the Sean Payton offense, if you will. How much of that is Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson, I know, is predicated on the run. Personnel-wise, we know that Ben Johnson wants a mix of running backs. One of the biggest pieces of this for me is DeAndre Swift was his running back in Detroit and is now his running back again. But the big risk to take Jahmyr Gibbs and how they've seen it pay off with him and David Montgomery, a huge reason why they were able to score points at will this season. Now he's back with DeAndre Swift, Ben Johnson. Now you've got Declan Doyle into this. The Sean Payton offense says get rid of the ball quickly and a lot of short passes. That plays into the hands of DJ Moore to me. I had a really good conversation with DJ Moore for Football After Dark back in December. And we talked about the concept of the quarterback can throw for a lot of yards. It doesn't have to all be in the air. Your 25-yard pass that gets you another 10 yards downfield is 35 yards on the stat sheets, no matter how you get there. Not to say that the quarterback in this case, Caleb Williams, wants all those yards to be a certain way or that he needs to pad his stat sheet. But that not all the pressure has to be on one person. You don't have to throw it exactly to where that person needs to be to get that kind of yardage. DJ Moore loves yak and rack. So to me, DJ Moore will absolutely benefit from more Sean Payton-like concepts. I thought that that was very important to note when it came to hearing Declan Doyle talk, getting the jumping off point for what other influences might be there for him and for this offense. And of course, we want to know what Declan Doyle thinks about Caleb Williams.
It's obviously in the draft process, the arm talent is crazy. I mean, it's very, very impressive. You know, he's a very impressive player. I got to watch him a little bit when he was at USC. You know, didn't get a chance to watch him as much this past year. I've started to dive into him, but I wouldn't say that that's a, you know, full evaluation quite yet. I don't think that would be fair. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just the talent of the kid, the ability to use his legs. You know, he is a tough kid. You see it on tape. You know, obviously the communication and, you know, all that stuff, but him, his second act, his ability to evade the pocket, his ability to create, is a special thing. And it's something that I got to see with, Bo in Denver last year. You know, that ability to evade and put pressure on the defense and kind of be the eraser of, game planning mistakes. I think that's really exciting about him.
It's really fun to hear when you hear the compliments coming from a coach, because that's how you know how that person got their attention. So in this case, for Caleb Williams, it's the same thing we all saw. How he's able to extend a play, how he's able to make something happen. What are his second reads going to be in this new offense? What's the first read going to be? How much is he going to have to use his checkdowns? You hope not a lot. I'm really excited to see how that could take shape. I think, again, the offensive line to me is where this all starts, because when I think of a lot of yak and rack offense, I want to see downfield blocking. So who's going to be there to block? Who's going to be setting your edge if you need extra blockers? Cole Kmet, obviously his body type plays into that. He wasn't complaining about blocking last season. I want to see him have more targets. I want to see him get baked into this offense. I want to see how they use the run to be able to have to commit bodies up front on the defense to it, to then open up what we could see in the passing game in the second and the third layers of the defense. And you know, I like to take a few shots downfield. Doesn't have to be every drive. It can be every third drive, whatever you need it to be. If you're having fun, if you're feeling sexy, like they like to say, Frank Thomas always says, if you're feeling sexy at the plate, if you're feeling sexy in the quarterback pocket and you've got one, you have a little bit of pass protection, maybe you have 2.8 seconds to throw the ball. That might be an eternity if you're used to 2.5. Then that's the time to do it. But I did enjoy hearing that part of it, the second act, and how important that was to him when it came to Caleb Williams' play creation and his playmaking abilities. It's not really something you drop unless you're really good, like Ben Johnson, and maybe you create a trick play that also might have that second act in it. Stumblebum was a very second act play to me. Like I said, we're taking calls on this. 312-644-6767. What grade do you give the Bears when it comes to who they hired today? And do you know a little bit more about them now that we've heard them talk? To me, it's at least a B. Declan Doyle is a bit of an unknown, so to me, it's not an A. You know, it would be great if both guys had head coaching experience and they both were foils to Ben Johnson not having that in that case. Or maybe you knew a little bit more about Declan Doyle, but if Sean McVay can be hired as a head coach at 33, then by all means, we can see a 28-year-old offensive coordinator. I don't necessarily mind it when your head coach is considered one of the best OCs in the game right now. But yeah, 6-3-0, the kid part cracked me up too, because how many years are we talking about a difference there between Caleb Williams and Declan Doyle? What, six? That's an eternity in your 20s, I guess. I wouldn't know. That happened a long time ago for me. So I look wistfully into the mirror. Stop laughing, Tyler. I see you laughing over there.
Well, I'm just more laughing, like, just realizing that this guy is, like, closer to my age. Like, he's only 2 years older than me.
Doesn't it make you feel unsuccessful? Like, that's what always happens to me. I'm like, wait, you're an accomplished head coach and you won a Super Bowl at what age? Aw, man. I better get to doing something.
I'm just like, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong here?
Well, there's the business we have chosen, to quote The Godfather. So there's that. 219 saying they give the letter grade a B. We have one call here that's been waiting a little bit on the score. We got time to take him. John in his truck. What do you think about this? John, are you there?
Yes.
We need you to turn your radio down, but I want to hear your thoughts on the Bears coaching staff hires. What do you think now that you've heard them talk? I don't think it's going to work. I'm so sorry. Did our new board do that too? What can you do?
No, that was just John's phone not acting
right. You ask people to keep their radio down, or else you just got a lot of silence. I have no silence when it comes to the Bears hires. I think these are good hires. I feel like this lets you know what they want to do. If only we knew personnel-wise how they wanted to put this thing together. I really appreciate having Dennis Allen on this staff, having an extra set of eyes, having hopefully more of the personnel that he needs to have them be in the places they want to be. Tyrique Stevenson's talent is not in question here. When you consider what the Bears can do, hopefully Jaquan Brisker, rather, is healthy enough. We didn't get a lot of updates on him at the end of the season. I think Ryan Poles did address it briefly, but I don't mind, obviously, that he was shut down after the London game because of his concussion. I think that's the right thing to do. But say everybody's healthy, and this is a dynamic defense, and you see the man coverages, and you see people work in a way that makes sense, right? Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker. You have Jalen Johnson. You have that complement in the secondary to see them run around and maybe rotate. I feel like that's an important piece to this. But the pass rush to me is everything here. So if they can get something going up front, or if they add either in the draft or in a successful way in free agency, and we see Dennis Allen's vision start to take shape, that's something that I think is going to be so key. 630, taking calls. Yes. Could this be a Shane's Meat in the Making? I'm here for it. Well, yeah. I mean, based on our first call where it went into purgatory, I think so. I'm wondering if John finally heard us on asking the question on the radio. Sorry about that. We had to take a break. 312-644-6767. What grade would you give the Bears for their assistance? They are not done. Keep in mind, maybe the most important position coach is yet to be hired. We will delve into that as well. James Palmer joins us at 7 o'clock to talk about the Super Bowl matchup. What else is going on in the NFL? We're here for you. Thanks for hanging out with me, Layla Rahimi, on The Score.
We're back with more Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That all remains to be seen. You know, we'll get all the guys in here and we'll figure out what we need to do. But I think, you know, Ben in his press conference made a great point that this has become a quarterback-driven league. I mean, that's what this league is. And so I think everything that we do is going to be based on how do we affect the quarterback. And you affect the quarterback through rush and coverage. And that's the pinnacle of what team defense is all about. And so we can be as great as we want to be covering everybody. But if we can't rush the passer, it's not gonna matter, and vice versa. If we can get to the passer quickly, but we can't, you know, disrupt routes and be competitive on the line of scrimmage, then we're gonna give up completions. So I think those two things have to be able to work together.
Preach, Dennis Allen. That's what he had to say earlier today when he was introduced as the new defensive coordinator for the Bears. This is Layla Rahimi on my first solo show on The Score. Thank you for hanging with me. You guys have always been so patient over the years. We're trying something new today. But Dennis Allen's right. How many times last season did we see near sacks, right? Like maybe Montez Sweat got there, but he just couldn't wrap up because you're not at 100% all the time and you'd have a good laugh about it. But unfortunately, you're still rattling somebody's cage. You're just not rattling it completely to the ground. But I still appreciated what Montez Sweat was doing. 5.5 sacks he led the team with. That's not enough, unfortunately. And as I mentioned earlier, Bears did pressure. They were in the top third of the NFL in doing so, but just didn't get home. Coverage sacks and straight pressures, those are the two for me. You're not going to see a lot of coverage sacks. No offense to the Bears secondary. That's just how good receivers are getting open in the NFL these days. So your next best bet is to just rattle the cage at the line of scrimmage. No better example than this past Sunday to me, in the opinion of the Chiefs. Like, obviously, the situational blitz and what Steve Spagnuolo was doing was just outstanding. You saw a lot of disguises, people crowding the line of scrimmage, people crowding the box, then running back, lots of stunts. And I'm hoping to see a little bit of that, but just mostly just whatever it needs to be done to get to the QB. We're also taking calls here on The Score, 312-644-6767. We have Jefferson from Alabama on the line. Hey, that's Jefferson, right. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lee, you're doing a great job going solo. I think it should be a new trend there.
I appreciate your patience. Tap dancing is literally what I can do. This is a new type of tap dancing for me. What's going on?
Hey, I'm a fellow jock. I'm on WABF down here in Fairhope, Alabama. So I know what it's like to fly solo the first time, but you're doing great.
Well, thanks. Are you paying attention to the Senior Bowl, obviously, since you're close to it in Mobile?
Oh, yeah. Riley Leonard is a local boy here. He's from Fairhope, Alabama.
I did not realize it was the exact same place that you're calling from. That's wild. That's great to hear.
Yeah, right across the bay from Mobile, right where the Senior Bowl is.
Learn something new every day about geography. I love that about this
every
place.
Every day, yeah. So listen, I'm going to chime in here. I listen to you guys all the time. The grade starts and ends for me with the head coach, and I got to give it a C, hon. Sorry.
Okay, but why is he?
Well, okay, it's again, the grade starts and ends with the head coach, and you know, I'm an 85 Bears guy, so you know, Ben Johnson was hired as the head coach because he was the OC genius from the Lions. So was Matt Nagy. He was the hot shot, you know, offensive guru from the Chiefs. Mark Trestman was the quarterback whisperer. None of them were proven NFL head coaches.
I understand that, and I see the point. You're an SEC country, though. And, you know, I remember the SEC as being a very defensive-heavy conference, and they had to adopt the new spread offense and RPO concepts as well. And it's gone okay for them. At some point, you have to adapt. This is an offensive league now. And I think the difference is Matt Nagy didn't call the plays famously like Ben Johnson has. So those are two different individuals to me. I know a lot of people keep calling Ben Johnson Matt Nagy 2.0, but just because they're both offensive-minded coaches, I think the differences stop there.
Be honest. Be disc jockey to disc jockey. Be honest. Did you hold out any hope at all for Ron Rivera?
I like Ron Rivera, but unfortunately, I think at this point, the time has passed. I understand the love for him and what he brings to the city. But no, the hope for Ron Rivera, in my opinion, passed when they decided to end his time in Washington.
Yeah, okay, all right. But yeah, I'm a trend guy. I'm a history guy. So I hope I'm wrong. I want to see the Bears back in this Super Bowl. I want to see the Bears winning the Super Bowl so bad. So I really hope I'm wrong. I'm just giving my honest answer. It's like, you know, nothing's exciting me here, you know?
That's okay.
We're hiring great, but listen to this. Here's how much of a purist was, okay? I was. Get your dart board ready here.
I've got a pen and paper, so that's what I'll go with.
Okay, you write. I thought Lovey was a great defensive coordinator. And the only reason we got to the Super Bowl in 2006 was because of the defense. But I never thought Lovey was a great head coach. And I think history proved that because he struck out in all the other places he head coached. And I don't think he was a head coach. I'm sorry to be this way. The last great head coach we had was Mike Ditka.
See, there it is. Now I was wondering. Jefferson, I appreciate your patience and your call. And you may be the most harsh judge we've got here. Because I'm like, man, if Lovey gets a C, Lovey who was fired after a 10-6 season, Lovey who took this team to a Super Bowl, Lovey who is arguably in the Bears' modern era since Ditka been the best coach they've had since, and yet does not satisfy this caller. No, I am not asking him to say Duval. We thank you for your time, Jefferson, on the score. You can't ask somebody from Alabama to say Duval. That's not how this works. Have I told you my opinion on Duval? I go back and forth on it because I understand. Regional pride is a good thing. County pride is a good thing. I don't see anybody in Chicago yelling the word cook anytime soon, or at least not that way. Like you say, let Polk's cook or let AK cook. Hope AK cooks in the next week, if you know what I'm saying.
Duval.
But that was some harsh grading out of Jefferson, but I appreciate the dissenting opinion because I understand there's a lot of people who are calling this Matt Nagy 2.0, but I just don't see that at all. They're two different people. One likes to run the ball. One called plays the whole time in his tenure at the previous stop. That's not Matt Nagy. They're two different coaches.
Yeah, I don't see much of the similarity in either of those two. Like, at the time, Nagy wasn't, like, the hottest name to be a head coach during that time of the hiring. Yeah, he was considered, like, an offensive guru, but he wasn't, like, Ben Johnson level where every analyst is telling you, you need to hire this guy. He's going to be the next best head coach. Or we've heard that he could be the next having his own coaching tree like a McVay. Like, we weren't getting that from Nagy.
No, and I understand the thought process. I remember being really happy about how transparent Matt Nagy seemingly was compared to John Fox. What I didn't know at the time was how frustrated John Fox might have been with what was going on behind the scenes. I'm not necessarily giving him every excuse out of that, but when you didn't get to pick your head coach and the GM doesn't tell members of his scouting staff who he wants to pick as the quarterback, you didn't get to pick your QB at all. Like that would, I might react in similar ways to John Fox. I might have said everything's a problem, but I did appreciate the transparency and what Matt Nagy was trying to do in the beginning. It was the next year when, after you get coach of the year, you change your philosophy, reportedly abandon Mitch Trubisky's development. That's when I take issue, because whether or not you like it, that's your guy. That's your quarterback. Your job is to improve him. I want to take at least one more. I want to listen to one more piece of sound that we have, one more soundbite, if you will, from Declan Doyle. I think that that's important when it comes to trying to get to know these guys better. And it's as far as what he was doing at the time, like not just moving up, but also, I know this is a little bit on the fly, and I apologize for that, Tyler, but I think it's important just while we have him here. We heard him talk about Caleb Williams, but is it possible to get the comment that he made about the similarities in New Orleans and Denver with Ben Johnson's offense? Because I think that hammers home the point that all roads are leading back to Sean Payton in New Orleans in some way for me here when it comes to putting together the pieces of this coaching staff. This is challenging. We have this very new board. And you'd think that like talking about it was too much, but I'm telling you, it's pretty much everything for us. It's like knives for a chef. It's going to be different when you get different tools. You got it? Let's listen.
I'm very excited to jump into it. You know, obviously watching Detroit from afar, there's a lot of similarities between what we did in New Orleans and Denver and the offense that he's built. You know, I think it's really the modern version of that. And so I'm very excited to kind of, you know, sit down with Ben, discuss scheme, discuss things that fit our personnel and be able to shape this thing around the personnel that we have here.
So again, let's not play a drinking game because I want everybody's livers to be intact. But let's play some sort of game where you take notes on how much you're going to hear about New Orleans, what the connections are, what the resumes are, and how much you're going to hear about Sean Payton and all of this. We've heard so much about the Shanahan coaching tree. We've heard about other coaching trees in the NFL. I think a lot of it's going to come back to Sean Payton as to how this all works together, or the New Orleans connection, where, by the way, Dan Campbell was a member of that staff from 2016 to 2020 as tight ends coach. You see how it all comes together there? You see how the pieces are all starting to fit? It's almost like all that coach stalking we did on the midday show came together for a reason. We're going to talk more NFL. The championship games were fantastic to watch. And I always say in order to be a better writer, you have to read good writing. In order to want better football, you have to watch better football. We got the display of that on Sunday. The Super Bowl is set. There's no better person to talk about it all with than my friend James Palmer of the 89 podcast, Underdog Fantasy, formerly NFL Network. He joins us next on The Score.